At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two of a Friday Live right here on the early line on Sports Grid. Still with one final football game in the 2023 NFL season, known as the Super Bowl, 9 days away in Las Vegas, we consider what we are doing here a Football Friday live on the early line on Sports Grid. But a ton to get to here around the association. A huge weekend ahead in college basketball. Five ranked versus ranked top 25 tilts over the next 48 hours. And it's All-Star weekend in the NHL. Donnie Wrightside is fired up. We are together here for the next 2 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern.
Yep, we're ready to go here, setting the table here for On Deck here for Super Bowl 58 next Sunday. But you're right, it is a big weekend. And also, we've talked about this before. It's now officially college basketball season as they have the takeovers on Saturdays from early morning all the way to late night. Everybody in action, and you finally get a taste of what we're going to deliver over the next month, which includes March Madness. And again, don't forget, I often argue this, Ben, conference championship week more exciting than March Madness because everything is on the line, everybody plays, and Ben, you can make your dreams come true with a simple four-game run through that conference tournament to get to the big dance.
Listen, that's well said. I don't think anything beats the round of 64 Thursday and Friday, but conference championship week in college basketball is as good as it gets. And 2 days away is a Sunday. 7 days from that is Super Bowl 58. 7 weeks from that date is Selection Sunday for the NCAA tournament. Let's bring in that Sports Grid Radio audience here. Our second hour live on the early line on this Football Friday, or just a Friday. Sirius XM, channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Tonight, we go around the association in some hardwood handicaps. After only a four-game slate on a Thursday, a robust NBA slate on this Friday. Second leg of a back-to-back for Indiana, who was on an East Coast road trip. The Pacers were in New York last night, taking on the Knicks inside Madison Square Garden. They lost by four. They return home to Indianapolis tonight, where the Pacers will host the Kings. They are a three-point home underdog in Indianapolis. But when the Kings and the Pacers are linking up, not only is it the Domantas Sabonis versus the Tyrese Halliburton revenge game on both sides, it's a lofty number, the over-under 249.
It is a high number, but also, Ben, again, when we talk about handicapping these on the early line, much different than when we find out who the actual teams are going to be playing tonight. Now, granted, we know it's Pacers-Kings. We just don't know the starting lineups here. But the one thing I do know, there's a better chance that the Sacramento Kings will be full tilt after that game against the Miami Heat. They fly into town. They get a nice night of rest here waiting on the Pacers, who last night were in New York City taking on the Knicks in Madison Square Garden, which leaves us with, okay, Tyrese Haliburton did come back, and maybe he wants to win the MVP or All-Tro, whatever, first team all pro, and he wants to stay in the lineup. That's fine, but it also means you played a lot of minutes last night. It was a close basketball game. Nobody rested in that one. I'll take the Sacramento Kings in this game, much like I took them against the Miami Heat, but they got squashed in that game. I like the Kings, and also I'll just lean towards the under. Any team, I don't care what the tempo is going to be. Back-to-back, Ben, in your own city, that's one thing. Back-to-back on travel, where you're in a different city the night before and another city the next day, I'll just lean on the under in that spot.
It feels like a really big spot for Indiana trying to start to turn things up optimistically with Pascal Siakam and Tyrese Halliburton in the lineup. He only played about 20 minutes last night as they were in New York against the Knicks inside MSG, trying to ramp him up as well. Again, the Pacers, a really good underdog this year, 17-11-2 against the number, 15-15 in those 30 games as a dog straight up. Sacramento, 16-17-1 against the spread as the favored side. Now we go to Minneapolis, where the best team in the Western Conference resides. That would be the Timberwolves. An 8-point home favorite tonight against the Orlando Magic. The Magic, the best cover team in all of the association. The total, 211.5. A big 8-point spread working the way of the T-Wolves tonight in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, why can't we keep it close? The one thing the Orlando Magic know how to do is play it close and within the number, as you just stated here, and also playing decent basketball on the road. I'll take the Magic getting the 7 or 8 points. Are they the better team against Minnesota? No, they're not, but they do cover spreads, and that's why I'm taking the Magic tonight.
Minnesota 18-4 at home this year, but covering numbers at home, just 12-8-2 against the spread. 31-17, the overall ATS mark for the Magic. Again, that is the best cover percentage in all of the NBA. I would happen to agree. We would look at that 8-point difference and think Orlando keeps it within that margin. Two teams that know each other very well, once a budding rivalry in the Western Conference postseason, a little bit tampered in tonight's matchup in the Grind City. The Grizzlies, an 8-point home underdog, second leg of a back-to-back at home for Memphis, hosting the Golden State Warriors. Again, the Dubs need to start stacking up some of those W's. They are still 4 games below 500, 20-24. Line working to Golden State. Memphis without Ja Morant. We learned that he was going to be out for the remainder of this year on January 8th. 12 games now. The Grizzlies have covered in 8 of the 12. They have covered in 6 consecutive. Golden State has not been a great cover team this year. What do you expect tonight in Memphis?
If this was a back-to-back, meaning Memphis was on the road at Golden State on a back-to-back, this would be different here. But Memphis is at home here rested, and Memphis is at home on a back-to-back, so not as bad in that travel situation. This has come down to, Ben, just the Golden State Warriors favored by this amount. You just can't do that. Are they better? Should they cover? Yes, but I'm going to bet against Golden State tonight. I'll take the Grizzlies with the points at home, even though, again, they're on a back-to-back.
Listen, you're not wrong in thinking that Golden State not going to cover this number. I think the Dubs win this game outright. I'm not sure what that margin looks like. Golden State this year, 9-17 against the spread when booked as a favorite. Maybe we can find some value then in a player performance double. How about Steph to score 30 on the road in the Grind City and Golden State to win? It's a plus 138 price. Now, the Detroit Pistons are not a great basketball team. I'm not going to argue that they are. But Detroit has been covering numbers here as of late. They're getting 12 at home tonight in the Motor City against the Clippers, total 238.5.
Yeah, it looks like Kay Cunningham probably going to play again tonight, and that's good enough for me. We're not asking for a win, as Ben said. We're just asking to cover and also not cover 5 or 6 points, covering double digits here tonight. Are the Clippers the better team? Should they win? Absolutely. But I'm going to take the Pistons at home with double digits in this game, Ben.
When you look at what Detroit has done as of late, 2 victories in their last 4 games, 3 victories in the last 2.5 weeks, that's for a team who has won 6 games all year long. Detroit has now covered, as I tally this up quickly, in 8 of their last 9 games. I'm going to back the Pistons as well. The Clippers, really good as a favorite this year, but just too many points. Now Monty Williams is starting to turn things around. And by turn things around, I mean at least keeping games more competitive than they were earlier this season. NHL All-Star Weekend up next here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is NHL All-Star Weekend up in the sixth. That is Toronto. We are at the All-Star break in the National Hockey League. We get you set for everything you need to know for All-Star Weekend and where the NHL sits here at the break as well. We do that not with myself or Donnie Wrightside. Casey Hudson joins us here on this Friday on the early line with the ice advice. Casey, thank you so much for taking the time bright and early on this Friday to join us here on Sports Grid.
Of course. I always love chatting with you guys. And most importantly, we know how much I love to talk about hockey.
We are very glad to have you here to do just that. So here we are at the All-Star break. We look big picture first and foremost, and the odds to hoist Lord Stanley's Cup high up into the air at the end of this NHL season. Right now, the Avalanche, the favorites at 8-1, but just 50 cents in front of the hottest team in hockey, the Edmonton Oilers, plus 850. Bruins and the Panthers, plus 950, and the Carolina Hurricanes, a 10-1 number. Those are the five best prices to win the Stanley Cup this season. So, Casey, at the All-Star break for the NHL, what's your assessment of where the league stands overall?
Most importantly, it's the fact that you can never overreact in hockey. We saw some interesting things through the first 8 weeks of the season, and most of that translates to the halfway point. Now, the New York Rangers were one of the hottest teams to watch. Then they started facing injuries, and then Shesterkin kind of lost his game a little bit. Thank God for nothing. Then you've got the Colorado Avalanche. Last time I chatted with you two, I was mentioning the fact that I don't really trust this team. Their D zone wasn't looking good. They were letting a lot of points in there. It's still kind of facing some of that wonkiness, sitting at a 3.1 goals against average, but Nathan McKinnon is making a strong case for his team, the same way Mikko Rantanen season. So it's a nice little tango going on so far. Most importantly, the Edmonton Oilers are back in contention, but it's the Florida Panthers and the Canucks that I would watch very closely, including the Vegas Golden Knights, if they can get healthy in the nick of time.
The more things change, the more things we stay the same. In that Eastern Conference, the Boston Bruins leading the way with 71 points here as the top shelf team. If we go down a little bit on that list here for us, Casey, give us some teams to watch that maybe we're saying even outside of the playoff race right now that could surprise and maybe make a run for us.
Well, the closest eye on right now is the Florida Panthers. They're just kind of majestically forming themselves in the same way they did last season. In the beginning of the season, make that back-to-back run, they're doing exactly that. They're getting those points up. They're still outworking their opponents. Their physicality is still there and healthy. So they're a team to definitely keep an eye on. They're the biggest aggressor, in my opinion, in the NHL. I know it kind of sounds like stats for the Canucks, but they just made a major move weeks before the trade deadline, adding Lindholm to the lineup. He's a great two-way player and somewhere that they need to increase their edge, as well as in the face-off circle. You win in the circle, you maintain puck possession, then you're putting yourself in a lead up map. But somebody else to keep an eye on is the Carolina Hurricanes. Some people might not think this, but Anderson's going to be coming back soon. They're not having too much more. It's keeping pucks out of their net, which can be a painful theme heading into the second swing of the season. So they get goaltending locked down. Svechnikov back, and he's got a lot of time to make up for it. There's somebody that can sneak in contention there. So I like the Panthers. I like the Hurricanes, but I'm a big fan of the Canadiens. I think we're going to finally see a Canada team represent Canada again since the Montreal Canadiens a few years ago.
Waiting to see a Canadian team in the Stanley Cup final. Some technical difficulties. We'll have Casey back here in just a moment. But as she was sharing, one of the main storylines of this season on the ice has been the Edmonton Oilers off to a dismal start. Connor McDavid was injured. We expected so much more out of Edmonton early on than what they were showing. Well, the Oilers enter the All-Star break winners of 16 straight games. That is the second longest win streak in the history of the National Hockey League. Edmonton is one victory away from matching the longest ever win streak in NHL history. So, Casey, how would you describe the season the Oilers have played so far?
I'd say I thought the Bolts were having an emotional roller coaster of a season, but it's definitely the Oilers. We didn't foresee them on track, but I talked with Greg Wyshynski a couple of weeks ago, and he pointed out something very crucial. Connor McDavid hasn't been his healthiest, so now we're seeing it's to the side of some nagging injuries that he has been dealing with. A healthy McDavid helps continue to lead this team, where Draisaitl stepped up tremendously. They've weak points, which is the biggest thing here. Their penalty kill coming together. Their goaltending. Stuart Skinner is finally standing on his head for this team. Their zone. So them being one of the most formidable teams when it comes to special teams, I think we're going to actually see them finally make a run. The new coaching has helped a lot. He's a new kind of day approach, and the players are very responsive to it. Then they add Corey Perry. Great playoff experience. Absolutely. Through and playoff pushes. I know that personally from the Tampa Bay Lightning. So they've set them up very well to get back in this run.
Okay, so we take a look here at the MVP odds. Most teams have played about 50 games here coming up on the All-Star break. Nathan MacKinnon minus 135, Kucherov plus 300, and there is McDavid at a plus 430 price. If we're asking you to hand in your vote today, who is going to get that Hart Memorial Trophy MVP vote?
It's going to sound biased. It's Nikita Kucherov all day. You're thinking most valuable player, thinking about the guy. They can get you over the line. You're thinking you can put the entire team's, the entire reliability on this guy's shoulders, and it's Kucherov. When you're looking at the stats, Nathan McKinnon is sitting top 20 in the league right now who can be supporting roles for his success. Nikita Kucherov doesn't have a guy until you get almost right out of that. When it comes to Braden Point and then Steven Stamkos and Victor Hedman. So Nikita Kucherov has been a pillar for this team. If it wasn't for his points, the Bulls would look entirely different standings as of right now, not to take away from every other player, but it's Nikita Kucherov's hockey IQ. It's his passing precision. It's his ability to set up the defense in his game and shooting more than we've almost ever seen since he joined the league. It's Nikita Kucherov hands down for me.
Casey, we appreciate the time. Thank you for finding us some plus money for the Hart Memorial Trophy, the MVP award in the NHL. We will see you in Las Vegas 1 week from today, getting things ready for Super Bowl 58. Look forward to seeing you out there in the desert. We appreciate the time as always. So as we look at a couple of other award markets in the NHL, as we get ready for All-Star Weekend in the National Hockey League, of course, all good, Casey. All good. That's why we'll be in person next week in Las Vegas. You can't trust Wi-Fi nowadays. But as we look at a couple other award markets in the NHL, of course, Donnie, one of the storylines this year, if Victor Wembanyama was the number one pick that was promised in the NBA, same story for the Blackhawks in the NHL, Connor Bedard. But we have not seen him since January 5th, a fractured jaw. So far, though, it looks like he has lived up to the hype. 15 goals for Chicago, 18 assists in 39 games played. And despite the fact he has not played now in nearly a month, DRS, he is still booked as the favorite to win the Calder Trophy. That is the Rookie of the Year in the NHL. Nearly a $2 odds-on favorite as well at minus 190.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, too, because, again, if you do compete or compare it, I should say, to other sports, if you miss an extended period of time, usually you drop like a rock. It would have been crazy to say he was the favorite to win this award, gets injured, drops back to 5 or 6 to 1, you know, and say, okay, well, do you want to bet on if he comes back? But he's still holding strong as close to a $2 favorite at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Yeah. That tells you how good he is and how far and away the best rookie he actually is to hold this lead by being out over a month. That's pretty good.
Listen, there are some astute handicappers on this network that have a minus 125 number on Connor Bedard to win the Calder Trophy. And that astute handicapper, who has been seeing the future very, very clearly in those future markets, is hoping he remains the odds-on favorite. Donnie, let's get a pick for All-Star Weekend. Who wins the All-Star Saturday night? Team Matthews, Team Hughes, Team MacKinnon, Team McDavid?
Well, the last name I heard was McDavid, so we'll go with that there. How's that for you?
What was the second name I said?
No, I don't know. I was hoping Cal McCarr came in there somewhere.
Yeah, that would be Jack Hughes. Come on. Give me Team Hughes plus 265. NBA talk next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A recap around the association last night, setting the stage for this weekend in a Friday night slate in the NBA. We do that with our coach, James Young. JY joins us live right here on this Friday on the Early Line. I'm setting the clock right now. Stopwatch has started. Boom. 30 seconds. Talk about Jalen Brunson.
Oh, MVP. I can't even talk. I'm so excited about this. Jalen Brunson was 201 with FanDuel. That 150. Now he's 75.
15.
I'm on your right now. Jalen Brunson, if the Knicks keep playing like this, we may be going to the promised land, baby. Oh, my Lord. I'm so excited. I'll stop talking.
All right. That was good. Hey, listen, you got it under the wire. That's a pro's pro right there because we were going 926-05, and you got it all in. Jalen Brunson now 75-1 to win the NBA MVP award on the FanDuel Sportsbook. A 40-point performance the day that he was named an all-star inside Madison Square Garden. That was one of the marquee events that happened on a Thursday night slate. And JY, in only four games, to see a shocker in Boston was quite surprising. The Lakers and the Celtics, a historic rivalry in the NBA, but it lost a little bit of luster entering last night inside TD Garden. No LeBron James for LA, no Anthony Davis either for the late show, and behind Austin Reeves' 32-point performance, the Lakers pull off a monumental upset over the Seas. 114-105 in Boston. The Lakers win outright as a 15-point underdog. JY, what was the significance of what the Lakers were able to accomplish last night inside TD Garden?
You know, I think what LeBron did, Ben, is LeBron put everybody on notice with his press conference after that loss against Atlanta, really kind of calling his teammates out, did some stuff on social media that kind of wanted to push these guys. And what you had last night for the Lakers is, number one, they shot 19 for 36 from three-point land. Obviously, you got to talk about Austin Reeves, but also the play of D'Angelo Russell. I know he went 5 for 20, but 4 for 8 from three. Those two combined to win 11 for 18 from three-point land. But then you look at the other side, and this is where you get concerned with Boston because they have nights where their stars disappear. If I told you that Sam Hauser would combine for have the same amount of points as Derek White and Jaylen Brown combined, you think I'm crazy. And that was a concern last night with Beantown, with their those guards shooting a combined 1 for 8. Porzingis shot 1 for 7 from three as well. So you got those three shooting a grand total of 2 for 15 from three. There are concerns sometimes at Boston, but for LA, they should enjoy this win. They head down to New York for a big marquee matchup Saturday night at MSG.
Yeah, the Lakers heading into that game looked like they were basically okay with a forfeit. Let's just not get anybody hurt. We know we're going to lose the basketball game anyway, so why risk it? And came away with a victory. So now we take a look at the future options here, Coach, here for the Los Angeles Lakers. The playoffs, actually a favorite to make it at a minus 118 price. Conference championship, 18-1. Championship here at 33-1. Trade deadline coming up. Give us some realistic options. What do the Lakers need to do to improve themselves enough to be a playoff contender here?
You know, regardless of the fact, Donnie, that they shot the ball over 50% from three, they need shooting. They need consistent shooting, and they have not gotten that for the course of the season. They got it last night. So you have to see if Reeves and D'Angelo Russell can continue this. If they can, then obviously it could be something, because with LeBron and AD, you need guys that can space the floor, right? Another concern I have with the Lakers is the injury of Jared Vanderbilt. Did not finish the game last night. I think it was his foot. I'll be interested to see how long he's out, because let's be honest, he is the only one that I really could say is a pretty good to above average defender. So listen, can LeBron get you into the playoffs? Sure. Can the Lakers make a run? They can't make a run, guys, with this roster. I don't care. You're going to be leaning on a 39-year-old LeBron James. You're going to be leaning on an Anthony Davis who can disappear at any point in the playoffs. And they're still sitting in the 9 seed right now, 5 games out of the loss column for 6. So, listen, I wouldn't play that. I you know, maybe you could take a chance, but you're telling me at some point between New Orleans, Dallas, the Jazz, we won't count, and the Lakers – you got to say that New Orleans and Dallas are both better than the Lakers right now.
The Lakers made a run to the Western Conference Finals last year as the seventh seed, emerging out of the play-in tournament. To do that twice would be a very large bar to clear. 18-1 for the Lakers to win the Western Conference right now. As we look at the odds, the reigning Western Conference champs, the reigning NBA champs, the Denver Nuggets, the favorites, plus 180. $1.50 behind the other LA team, the Clippers, at plus 330. And the Suns have won 9 of their last 11, now a 7-1 number. The Thunder and the T-Wolves at the top of the Western Conference standings at plus 950. Given where Phoenix was, Jay, why entering the year, I'm going to include them in this big three conversation in the Western Conference. Denver, the Clippers, and the Suns. Can anybody outside of those top three prices contend truly for a Western Conference championship?
All right, here's the big thing, Ben. If they are all healthy, no. But that is going to be the concern, right, Ben? Because when you look at the Clippers, those guys, PG, Kawhi, have injury concerns. You look at, obviously, Phoenix. Booker's missed time. Beal has always missed a lot of time the last couple of years. Obviously, KD and even Nurkic has missed some time, right? Denver's probably the only one that hasn't had, you know, injury, really, besides the Jamal Murray ACL tear, which was years ago. They're pretty healthy. So, to me, it's very important to see, honestly, where these teams line up when the playoffs start. If the playoffs start today, folks, Clippers Phoenix is the first round matchup, would be an absolute war, a rematch of last year. So to me, that's where it gets interesting. So when you look at the West, if everything stopped today, you probably look at Denver as a favorite because they have an easier pathway to get to the Western Conference Finals going through right now Sacramento and then probably Minnesota, as opposed to the Clippers and the Suns facing each other in the first round and then have to go through OKC.
Coach, let's take a look tonight. Clippers are going to be in play in Detroit. Ooh. Going up against the Pistons here. The number here sits at minus 12 as a road favorite for the Clippers and a total at 239. Do the good times continue to roll for the Clippers tonight in Detroit?
You know, you would certainly hope so for the, obviously for them. You know, they had that 118-108 loss they had at Cleveland. They then won 125-109 versus Washington on the road without PG-13. So, listen, I will say this. They are playing better than the Pistons. Like, I know it's a low-hanging fruit, but they won two out of their last four games, but the including that big 120-104 win they had versus OKC. But the Clippers should continue to roll here. This is a team that I really think, if healthy, could make a run and win the Western Conference. If healthy, their strength of schedule sits at 14th, according to Tankathon, going to tonight. But like I said, health is a factor. And then you never know with Detroit, because I expect Bogdanovich and Burks to be moved by next weekend.
That will be interesting for Detroit, but a team that is keeping games closer than the odds makers expect here as of late. We mentioned earlier Detroit has covered in 8 of its last 9 games since Christmas. They have covered in 14 of those 18 games. JY, you have already said the Los Angeles Clippers are going to win the West and maybe even that NBA championship. At first, it did not seem like things were going to work after acquiring James Harden, but since they were 2 games below 500 at the end of November, 8-10, things have been peachy in LA. JY, what has been the key to this turnaround for the Clippers?
Honestly, first thing has got to be the play of Kawhi Leonard. I think Kawhi Leonard has returned himself. It's funny, when I did my Betting Above the Rim podcast and I listed my top 10 players, I didn't list Kawhi because his injury concerns, so on and so forth. But he's playing like a top 10 guy. So now what that does is now you slide PG-13 into that Robin role, which is perfect for him. But then you're getting a rejuvenated James Harden. You have Norman Powell coming off the bench. You have Mann as kind of that junkyard dog. Zubac always concerns me, but he's been pretty good. But also Tyronn Lue. This guy's one of the top 5 coaches in the NBA, and he's done a great job with this team. And like I said, they're dangerous. And remember, folks, they're only 1 game out of the loss column for the 1 seed. So if the Clippers can keep rolling, they're going to be really, really dangerous, and they could win it all.
Let's squeeze in another handicap with you here, Coach. Sacramento Kings, Indiana Pacers tonight. Last night, we saw those Indiana Pacers get beat by the New York Knicks, flying back now to take on the Kings, who last time we saw them lost to the Miami Heat. An underdog tonight, those Pacers, at plus three in a total. How about this? 248.5.
Well, I think the concern with the total, guys, is that this is based off of Tyrese Halliburton playing his normal minutes. He's on a minutes restriction. So I would be looking at the under with that game because I think that is a big part. If you even think about it, I'm a Knicks fan. If Tyrese Halliburton plays that whole game in the fourth quarter, I don't know if the Knicks win that game. So I think that's something you need to take into account when you're betting the Pacers, is how is the restriction of minutes going to be with Tyrese Halliburton. Think about this. Back-to-back. Minutes restriction. Guys, maybe he doesn't even play tonight on a back-to-back. He's already not going to make the MVP market, so maybe he sits out tonight.
Another big game in Memphis, the Golden State Warriors, an 8-point favorite on the road in the Grind City. JY, give us a quick pick for this matchup tonight in Memphis.
Well, if this was 2 years ago, I would love it, because they would be playing whoop that trick, and people would be going wild in that place. But the trick that's going to get whipped is Memphis. Give me the Golden State Warriors minus the points.
The Grizz have covered in six straight games, 8 of 12 games without Ja Morant. From one guy that loved the Detroit Lions in the NFC Championship game to another, Joe Lisi joins us up here on the early line to preview Super Bowl 58. But not before a fadeaway from Jay Watt.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I feel like I'm third wheeling right now on this Football Friday on the early line on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens, and the two best friends are together once again. Joe Lisi and Donnie Wrightside here on TEL. Us three and old K-Dubs, Kevin Walsh, live on Monday, 8 a.m. Eastern in Las Vegas for Pro Football Today inside the Super Bowl Media Center out in Viva Las Vegas. Lisi Guy, what time is the flight tomorrow?
9 o'clock, guys. Thanks for having me.
Wow.
The calm before the storm, yeah. Why is not why? 9 is too early, Donnie? 9 o'clock.
I'm surprised you're up right now. How did you get up this early? This has been a first in like months, man. I mean, my goodness. Thank you.
Don, don't be hating. Don't be hating. Come on.
Oh, man. Yeah. All right. So, listen, let's get ready for Super Bowl 58. All three of us together out in Las Vegas with old K-Dubs, Kevin Walsh. We will give you every angle you need to know for Super Bowl Sunday. Now just 9 days away, the Super Bowl 58 matchup between the Chiefs and the 49ers. Lisi, after Conference Championship Sunday, when KC was victorious in the AFC once again, San Francisco, the champions of the NFC, line opened up at 2.5 in favor of the Niners. Quickly was bet down to only 1.5 in favor of San Francisco. And then yesterday, the most significant market movement we have seen here in the week before Super Bowl week, back up to 2.5 points in favor of Brock Purdy and the 49ers. How do you feel about where the spread stands right now, Lisi Guy, for Super Bowl 58?
I think it's right there, Ben. I don't see it getting up to 3 or 3.5 by game time. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but I think the book does have it just right in the area of about 2.5 to 1.5, respectively. I do feel that San Francisco should be the favorite in the ballgame because of the offensive weapons that they have. And we've seen Pat Mahomes in Kansas City grind these games out. Yes, they've won, but they have been pushed to the limit where, even though San Francisco came from behind in both ball games, the way Brock Purdy led those teams from behind in terms of Green Bay and Detroit, respectively, if they do start fast in this ballgame, I can think it'll be a different outcome, guys.
Dome atmosphere out there, and obviously the reason I bring that up is Patrick Mahomes doesn't care, Joe, where he plays. Windy, rainy conditions, he can handle it. Brock Purdy, we always got those questions like, okay, is he wearing the glove, not going to wear the glove, how's he going to perform? Take those out of the equation. Now, also, the build-up to the Super Bowl, it is 2 weeks. Let me ask you this question. From a bye week perspective, is any one team going to get more intel this week and benefit more for the bye week? Who would it be, San Francisco or Kansas City?
I think it's San Francisco, Donnie, and the reason why I say that is because they've come out in back-to-back games a little bit flat, right? They haven't come out looking sharp, and even though they were able to pull out those ball games, now's an opportunity to reset. For Patrick Mahomes, and we talked about it with Warren in regards to that, that he believes that because they haven't had a bye week since basically week four, that'll be the benefit. The problem that I have with Kansas City heading into the bye week is they're playing their best football. That quarterback to wide receiver relationship with Mahomes and Travis Kelce is hitting on all cylinders. That could be disrupted now with the extra week of preparation. That's why I actually believe the week off benefits the 49ers, in my opinion, guys.
Yeah, when you look at this Kansas City team, Joe, they have found their groove offensively on the ground with Isaiah Pacheco and relying on that steady relationship between Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. This KC team is different than the previous teams we have seen reach a Super Bowl stage. For San Francisco on the other side, in the regular season, all 12 of their victories, they scored 27 points, and the margin was at least a touchdown in all 12 games. Joe, as you look at both of these teams, the tail of the tape, getting ready for Super Bowl Sunday, what do you think the key matchup is that will dictate the outcome of Super Bowl 58?
Well, for San Francisco, I think it's their offensive line. I think if they could protect Brock Purdy early and they're aggressive and they score in this matchup, could be very difficult for Pat Mahomes to come from behind. And I know he has the capability. He's the best quarterback in the NFL, but the offensive playmakers aren't there. On the flip side as well, for Kansas City, I think they're going to have to run the football with Isaiah Pacheco. Sustained drives, more methodical, lower scoring game, whereas San Francisco, I think, wants to get this ball game into the 30s. On the defensive side, I think it's Kansas City secondary. Can they control George Kittle, Debo, Brandon Ayuk, and even McCaffrey coming out of the backfield? That is the critical matchup. And same thing, obviously, with San Francisco. You have to take away Kelce and force somebody else to beat you, guys.
Official lines have been up this week for the Super Bowl. Talking about the total perspective, Joe, 47.5, it hasn't moved at all. Now, the one thing we have agreed upon on Pro Football Today is talking about Kansas City. They would much rather this game be played under the 47.5, fitting their pattern. So let me ask you this question. First half totals for the Super Bowl listed at 23.5, similar to the second half also at 23.5. Are we going to see a more up-tempo offense, particularly from the 49ers in the first half? Because the thing I always reach back to, last time these two teams matched up in the Super Bowl, I thought Kyle Shanahan wasn't aggressive enough. I can't imagine he comes out in this football game and isn't aggressive right off the bat. How are you checking these totals after this game?
Yeah, I'm with you, Dom. We talked about it yesterday. I like the over in the ball game. I'm typically on the over, but in a Super Bowl environment where teams want to score points, especially against Pat Mahomes, you have to get this ball game to the 30s, in my opinion. Now, can San Francisco win in a lower scoring game? Absolutely. But if I'm Brock Purdy, I'm Kyle Shanahan. I want to push tempo. I like your look of over 23.5 in terms of the first quarter. It's a nice look, but I think the ball game does go over, guys.
I didn't know you called him Don now. Wow, you guys are really spending
Don.
A lot of quality time.
I called him Don. Don.
Yeah, by the way, real quick. The Ozbot, a little bit blurry over there. Lighting, Joe, a little bit off. I can't believe they let you on this early. I'm just going to say, I don't know how you got on.
Starting with the Ozbot. Yeah. Are you kidding? It's clear. Crystal clear. What are you talking about?
That looks good. I missed the LSU helmet, but it looks pretty good to me. First time I've seen that background here on the early line.
It's spinning.
All right. So, Lisi, let me ask you this question as well, because you spelled it out there pretty clearly. You think San Francisco can win a game that goes either way, over the pregame total of 47.5 or under? Can the Chiefs do the same? Probably better suited, ironically, if the game stays under 47.5. Can the Chiefs win Super Bowl 58 if we see some offense and a shootout in Las Vegas?
Yeah, they can, Ben. It's Pat Mahomes. Nothing would shock you if he throws for 350 and three touchdowns in this ballgame. But the problem, and we talked about it all year long, is that Kansas City has basically three games where they scored over 30 points, right? Chicago, L.A., Las Vegas, and the L.A. Chargers. Outside of that, every game's been the high 20s or mid-20s to grind out these matchups. Outside of Travis Kelce, who can you really rely on? That is the problem. Is it Rashee Rice? It might be, but you can't honestly say it's a guarantee. It's not like Tyreek Hill was in that lineup. That is the difference this year, I believe, with Kansas City, as in years past, is that they really need to play their style, lower scoring. When teams do push tempo, they have an opportunity to get outside their game plan, and Mahomes can be one-dimensional.
If you look at those props here, Joe, I find myself saying, I don't think the Chiefs can win this football game if Mahomes is under, like his 262.5, if he throws for 225, touchdown passes, he only gets one, or let's just say rushing yards around 20 yards. From a Brock Purdy perspective, for me, I do believe he can go under his numbers because of how potent they could be on the ground, which includes Deebo Samuel out of the backfield. If we're looking at these quarterback props here, does one stick out more than the other between Mahomes and Brock Purdy for you?
I think it's Purdy, Donnie. And the reason why I say that is you're right. He can go trend under because of McCaffrey and the rushing attack and Samuel, but it is his first Super Bowl. You want to get him involved in a rhythm. So are they a little bit more aggressive, knowing as well that Kansas City dictates tempo better than anybody, especially in terms of the playoff run? They did it against Baltimore, didn't score in the second half, and relied on their defense. They're not going to be able to do that if they're trailing, let's say, 17-7.5. So I think it's Purdy to go over the 245.5. Wouldn't shock me, obviously, if Mahomes does it, but I think Purdy's the more the one guy that I think can get really through his total, 300, 3.25 in this ballgame.
When you look at both of these defenses, that will square off in Las Vegas on Super Bowl Sunday, both KC and San Francisco, top five for the Chiefs in scoring total, pass defense for the 49ers, scoring total, rush defense, where both teams rank outside the top 10, the Niners in defending the pass, Kansas City defending the run, and KC in the bottom half of the NFL in terms of stopping that run. So as we correlate it then, Joe, to the Super Bowl 58 odds, Patrick Mahomes is the favorite to win that MVP award at plus 135, Purdy second best price at 2-1, Christian McCaffrey at plus 450. On this list, who is the most important player that will impact the result of who claims a Lombardi trophy in just 9 days?
I think it's McCaffrey at plus 450, 460. Why? Because he's versatile. He can catch the football. He can run it. If he puts up a buck 25 and three touchdowns on the ground, catches another 60 yards through the air, potentially he has the ability to take the hardware from Brock Purdy. So that, I think Christian McCaffrey, him and Deebo are the two most important players on that because of their versatility. Deebo, too, guys, I talked about it yesterday. 40 rushing yards plus 460. You want to take them up to 50, you get 8-1. It's incredible.
You take a look at that MVP market also. Joe, let me ask you this question, because I love the fact that Deebo Samuel is going to be involved in this game, and certainly over 2 weeks of game planning, he should have some great sets, which includes, for me, at least three rushing attempts. Get me one of those inside the 10-yard line, and he might even score. But let me ask you this question. Isaiah Pacheco hasn't practiced this week, and again, we're still a week out from the Super Bowl. We also know that we were worried in the last game with Deebo Samuel and that shoulder injury. Are there any injury concerns that you're worried about in this football game, a la Deebo Samuel or Isaiah Pacheco?
Yeah, I mean, it's Pacheco. I mean, with the foot, if he can't go, he is the spark plug because of how he runs the football. He's a tough inside runner. Can you get the same type of productivity out of Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Possibly, but is he going to be able to move the chains? They need Isaiah Pacheco to be in that lineup. Deebo, yes, it's very important to have Deebo there, Donnie. You know that. But they could still win without him because of Ayuk and Kittle and McCaffrey, even a little like Eli Mitchell. But Pacheco needs to be in that lineup for Kansas City.
Pacheco's rushing yards prop for Super Bowl 58, 67.5. He had 76 in Super Bowl 57, the victory over the Philadelphia Eagles. Myself, Joe, Donnie, Kevin, we'll have an interview with Dr. David Chow, the pro football doc, live on Wednesday morning out in Las Vegas, inside the media center, inside Mandalay Bay. You beat me to it. Don't steal my joke.
Big ball game
to break tendency out in Las Vegas. Got to get it done.
Lisey,
before we let you go, we've had a lot of debate here on this show, and we will further to end out this second hour. What is your favorite food to have on Super Bowl Sunday?
Oh, that's easy. I'm a traditionalist, too. Meatloaf, baby. let's have some meatloaf.
Yes.
Meatloaf and mashed potatoes.
Wheel. That guy. I thought you were going to say a little chicken franchise and get the people going.
I got you going. Hey, I have meatloaf. I have the meatloaf. Yeah.
We appreciate your time. I think we're talking on Football Full Circle, you and I, at noon Eastern today. Love the show. Thanks for being here. We round out this second hour up next live here on
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We round out this second hour here on a Football Friday on the early line on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. It's a Football Friday, but we get you ready for Super Bowl Sunday. And one of the beautiful things about the Super Bowl, the world's largest sporting event, is it's not just for the diehard NFL fan, even the casual sports fan. Everybody is involved. Is it the halftime show and Usher? Is it the Super Bowl commercials? Is it just bringing your favorite food to a Super Bowl party and hanging out with your friends? We wanted to hear from the people out there what their favorite part of Super Bowl Sunday is. We do that now in Fade the Public. At SportsGrid TV on Twitter, what do you enjoy most about Super Bowl Sunday? The commercials, the food, the game, the halftime show. Now, these results probably skewed to the SportsGrid audience that loves sports, that loves betting on these games, that just loves the game itself. Because the game for Super Bowl Sunday is nearly 65% of this poll, running away with it. Food second most, 23%.
I agree with where the public is going here, because obviously it is going to be the game. But I got to tell you, the 8.5% for the commercials. Now, growing up, 80s, 90s, early 2000s, pre-social media, they were a much bigger deal. Why? Because we saw the commercial when we watched the Super Bowl. We had no idea who was going to be in the commercial, what type of commercial was going to be made, and you sort of watched it play out, and then it's almost like you voted on the commercials at the end of it, going like, oh, I remember that Budweiser commercial, that Doritos commercial. But now they're all leaked online, and also, if you notice, the Super Bowl ads actually play before the Super Bowl themselves, and I'm not even talking about on game day. You'll catch a glimpse of some of these on a Friday or a Saturday before the Super Bowl. So I do agree that commercials used to be a much more bigger influence on this game and deserve to be voted down low. They're still fun to watch, but again, the leaks out there sort of ruin it here. The halftime show, always interesting. I'm actually surprised the halftime show is only at 3.7%. And I don't know if that's just a knock on Usher this year, if you don't enjoy it, but we'll get into it in hour number three here for sure.
I think Donnie's going to sing some Usher when hour three starts in less than a minute.
The DJ got us falling in love again.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.